Welcome to another edition of So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church in beautiful Menlo Park, California. Cummings Park is a word-based church that is family-oriented, God-loving, and people-loving. For more, visit their website at cummingsparkchurch.com. Now, with today's message, here is your teacher for So Loved, the senior pastor at Cummings Park Church, Memphis Latchison.
Have faith in it, that the promise might be sure because of faith. And so faith takes the promise. Grace makes the promise. Faith takes the promise. To all the seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith, to Abraham, who is the father of us all. Look at verse 17, and I like this. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Look at that. Who against hope believed in hope. So what does faith do? Faith against hope believes in hope. So in other words, when it looks like there is no hope, guess what? Faith is still believing it. Somebody say this. The fat lady hasn't sang yet. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Amen. Amen. And even I would say even past then, once the fat lady sings, faith is still believing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Who against hope believes in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, this is what I want to concentrate on right here. Verse 19. Look at this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now, think about this, okay? His own body, which was, I think, at that time, maybe 90 or 100 years old, was the problem. That's what the problem was, right? I mean, think about it. If he was young and in his 20s, this wouldn't even be an issue. Wouldn't even be a problem. But the Bible says he was not weak in faith. Why? Because he considered not his own body, which was the problem. Now, here's my thing. The correct response to a problem by faith is not to consider it. You see that? Not to consider the problem. So what is the problem? You might not have any money in your bank account. Guess what? Faith says, you know what? I'm not going to consider. What does it mean to consider? It means to think on, to give attention to that thing. You see? And so when you think about what worry is considering the problem. But what did Abraham do? He considered the promise more than he considered the problem. And so that's what we have to learn to do. The correct response or faith response to whatever a problem is to not consider the problem. So the problem to Abraham was, you know what? My body is old. Sarah's womb is dead. But God's promise says that we're going to bear children. We're going to have children. And so what does it say? Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was the problem. So faith, say this with me. Faith considers the promise and not the problem. Say it again. Faith considers the promise and not the problem. Doesn't that make sense? What I find is too many times, you know, we come here to church and guess what we're doing right now? We're considering the promise. That's what we're doing. We're studying the promise. We're giving our attention to the promise. We're singing the promise. We're fellowshipping over the promise. But what happens on Monday? Considering of the problem starts taking place. Isn't that what happens? But see, what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to consider the promise throughout the whole week. Consider the promise. Say that again. Consider the promise. And so that's one of the ways that Abraham was able to obtain by faith what God had promised. Amen. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. I don't think it's any of us. Our oldest person in here is not even 100 years old. Almost, but not there yet. He considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, the deadness of Sarah's womb was the problem, but he didn't consider that. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God. So remember last week when we read James and it said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and nothing wavering. He that wavereth, and then he goes on to say that he's unstable, and not let that man, he's a double-minded man, let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's wavering. Or in other words, the Bible used this word here, staggering. You're staggering, you're wavering, you're staggering. So in other words, you come in and on Sunday, and like we said earlier, you come in on Sunday and you're considering the promise and you're strong in it, but then Monday you're staggering, you're wavering. But what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to be consistent. We have to learn to not stagger, to not waver, to not consider the problem. Now, the problem's going to try to get you to consider it. There's going to be a whole lot of things that's going to come your way that's going to challenge you, a whole lot of situations, circumstances. People are going to try to get you to do things you know you shouldn't be doing, try to get you to think about things that you know you shouldn't be thinking about. But we have to remain consistent with considering the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. And then look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, God has already promised these things. And in fact, we've even gone as far as to say that we already have it. Now, what would happen if I said to you, I promise you that I'm going to give you $1 million. And in fact, I went ahead and put $1 million within your reach. But then you came to me and you kept asking me, will you please give me $1 million? Will you please give me $1 million? And what would I say to you? What would be my response to you? I already promised it to you and I already fulfilled my promise, right? And so that's why I say when we come to God in prayer, we have to come to him in faith. Because by the very fact that we ask him for what he's already promised and what he's already made available to us, that indicates that we're staggering, that we're wavering. Does that make sense? Just by the very fact that we ask in him for it. Lord, please heal my body, Lord. Lord, when are you going to heal my body, Lord? And I believe he's sitting up there saying, you know what? I've already done it. Read Isaiah 53:5. By my stripes, you've been healed. Not you're going to be healed, but you were already healed. Amen. You already have the healing. And so faith says, again, it's now. I have it right now. And so the faith response is not staggering in the promise through unbelief, not wavering, but considering the promise more than the problem and then thanking him that you already have it. That's what the faith response is. And when you have that kind of faith, then it's only just a matter of time before the actual thing that you already have manifests and you take hold of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go ahead and look at this a little bit more in detail. I want to see Jesus in action for a minute here. Let's review James again. James 1, and then we're going to look at Jesus and what happened with Jesus. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. I can remember time and time again where I was in a situation. And specifically, I remember this one time when I was in college, I was coming back from the summer break. And at Morehouse, I came back from California to Atlanta to enroll in school. But I remember it was almost $6,000 balance. And they said that you cannot enroll in school. We cannot register you for any classes until you first pay off this $6,000 balance. And I'm 19 years old, maybe. My mama didn't have the money. My daddy didn't have the money to pay this $6,000 balance off. And I was just thinking like, Lord, what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to go to school? And the thing that I knew, though, that I knew more than anything in the world is that God wanted me back in school. That's the thing I knew. I knew God had promised that one day I would graduate from Morehouse College and that I was supposed to be in school. And the thought in my mind came, well, maybe you should just take a break, though. But I knew in my knower that, wait a second, I'm already here in Atlanta. I might as well not go back all the way to California. I'm already here. And I thought, I need to trust. I need to believe God. Now, here's the thing, though. I knew that this is what God had promised me. And I knew really that I already had it. I just needed to figure out, Lord, how to access this thing, how to access this $6,000 that, you know, I knew I already had to enroll back in school. This was God's promise. I knew that I was supposed to graduate. I knew I was supposed to be in school. And so I remember distinctly going to the financial aid office and they told me, it is what it is. $6,000. And we can't help you until you pay the $6,000. It just is what it is. Now, what if I would have just settled for that day, you know? But what I did is I was like, no, you know what? I'm not going to settle for this. I said, I'm going to go back to my room. They still let me stay in the dorms for a little bit. Let me go back to my dorm room. And what I did was I opened up my Bible And I got on my knees before God, and I knelt down. I said, God, tell me what to do. Give me direction. What was I doing at this point? I was asking him for wisdom. That's what I was doing, right? I was asking him for wisdom. Now, I wasn't asking him to supply the need, because I believed I already had it. I really believed that this was mine. I'm supposed to be in school. This was the promise. I have the promise. God promises this thing is mine. I have it. But what I was asking him for was the wisdom or the direction on how to access it, on how to access, how to take this thing that he's already given me, right? And so this is what he's saying here. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. You need direction on how to go get this thing. And that's what we're asking for. So in other words, if you see that you're not healed yet, but God has already promised the healing. He said you're already healed. What you're praying for is, Lord, what do I need to do now to make this thing manifest? Do I need to eat better? Do I need to be on a certain diet, Lord? Do I need to go talk to the doctor? What do I need to do? That's what you're praying. You're praying for wisdom. You're asking for wisdom. Amen. And so just to give you the rest of that story. So what I did was I went, I knelt before God. I opened up the Bible, and the Bible fell exactly on Jeremiah 29:11. If anybody knows that scripture, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And so right there, I knew God was getting ready to do this thing, man, because I knew when that Bible just fell on that verse, I was like, there it is. That gave me the shot that I needed to just do what I needed to do. So then I continued just to spend time in prayer that whole afternoon. And then all of a sudden I heard some instructions from God. He said, I want you to go back to that financial aid office. This is what he told me. I want you to go back to that financial aid office, and I want you to talk to this specific person. And so I said, okay, Lord. Now, I had just about an hour or two, I had just came from the financial aid office. They told me it is what it is. There's nothing we can do, you see? And so I went back to that financial aid office, just like he said. So this was the wisdom now, the wisdom. I'd received the instruction, received the wisdom, went back to that financial aid office, spoke to this particular person, sat down with that person, talked to him. And as I just kept talking to him, he said to me, well, you know, let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do. So he started looking into stuff, started looking into money here in this place and money here in that place. And then next thing I know, he said, we have about half of that money we can give you. I said, I'll take it. I said, I'll take it. So they gave me about $3,000. They had about $3,000 somewhere just sitting there that they could give me. So they gave me $3,000. Then he said, now, I know that's not enough, but he said, now look at this. He said, now I want you to go to this person and talk to this person. So they gave me that $3,000. That debt got halfway down paid. So then after that, I went to this other person. And now this person particularly, he gave me a hard time. I told him, I said, there has to be something. I heard from God, and this is what God told me to do. And so he's looking into stuff. He told me these exact words. He said, we over here scraping rock bottom. He just kept saying that. We scraping rock bottom as far as funds are concerned. But he said, you know what? I think there's enough in here to pay for this debt that you owe us. And then sooner or later, he just went ahead and just wrote whatever he needed to write down. And then the whole thing was paid for after that time. And God allowed me to get back in school from that point forward. And I just thank God for it. I don't know what would have happened if I would have just settled for them just saying, you know what it is, you got to pay this debt. And if I had just sat there, well, Lord, I don't have the money, I don't know what to do. You know, instead of going to him, praying, asking him for that wisdom. And so wisdom is when you pray and you ask God to know what to do when you don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, but God went ahead and told me specific instructions on what to do to access and manifest what he had already promised. Amen. Now that we understand that, let's continue to read this so we could see it in more detail. Okay, so if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So God's not withholding any wisdom from us, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But look at this. Now check this out. Here's where the challenge comes in. But let him ask in what? In faith. You see that? Now, what does faith say? Faith says, I already have it. I have this thing. It's mine. Faith isn't doubting whether or not you have it. See, because if you doubt whether or not you have it, then you're going to be discouraged. But if you believe that you already have it, now you're encouraged because I already got this thing. I just need to figure out what to do to get it, to manifest it. You see, I already have this thing. I got it right now. It's mine. Lord, tell me exactly what to do. And so Let him ask in faith. Now look at this. This is also the key part. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Now, how hard is that? That's difficult. To ask in faith, nothing wavering. What does that mean? That means that you consider the promise and not the problem. That's what that means. You consider the promise and not the problem. And so, in other words, when those thoughts of doubt try to come in, no, you continue to consider the promise and continue to meditate on the promise. Not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man that's wavering or staggering, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, okay? Now, turn over with me. Let's see Jesus now. Look at John chapter 11. I want to show you this. John chapter 11. Then we'll close here. This will be it for today. Now, we know this passage. This is Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. When I began to see this, it just made so much sense to me on how my prayers to God should be thanking him rather than asking him for what he's already done. John chapter 11, let's begin at let's look at verse 21. So we know the story. Jesus comes late to Lazarus's funeral. He's already in the grave. He's stinking by this time. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Now, think about this. I like that she said that, because that right there is stating her faith. She's responding the correct way at this point. So a tragedy has just happened. Lazarus has just died, her brother. But you know what? I know that whatever you will ask of God, God will give it. Now check this out. I like that she said this too, because it really, really makes this very clear to us. She said, Jesus, whatever you will ask of God, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it. Now, from this point forward, we don't see Jesus asking God anything. We don't see Jesus asking God not one thing. But she says to him, whatever you ask of God, God will give it. Okay, now check this out. Let's see if Jesus asks God anything. Verse 23. Thy brother shall rise again. Now, what if Jesus would have said, well, Martha, okay, we're going to ask God to raise up Lazarus from the dead. You see the difference? You see the difference between the wavering in your faith versus having the correct faith response, right? So in other words, whatever you ask of God, I know he'll give it to you. The difference between this, well, Martha, okay, we're going to ask God, but the implication, I don't know if he will, though. We're going to ask him. We're going to definitely ask him. Now, in the face of death, that is hard. I've tried to raise people from dead. I don't know if you've ever, I've tried to do it, okay? When death is hitting you in the face like that, you start doing some wavering. You start doing some staggering, okay? You can ask God, right? But think about that. If he would have said, Martha, we're going to ask God to do this versus, you know what? Your brother will rise again. In other words, I think Jesus was saying, you know what? It's not even about me asking God. Your brother's going to rise again because he's promised it. I already know it. It's already ours. Amen. Okay, let's keep reading. Martha said unto him. Now, look at this. She still misunderstood what he was saying. She still misunderstood what he was saying. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So see, we would have thought at this point, Martha, when she asks, like, I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll do it. We assume that is some strong faith. That's what we assume. But then Jesus really kind of just, man, lets us know that his faith is just stronger. Your brother will rise again. And then we see in this next verse that her faith really wasn't where Jesus's faith was. You see, her faith was more of hope. Well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. And look at what Jesus' response is. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And look at verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, look at the question. Here's the question. Do you believe this, though? And she said, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And I believe that's all Jesus needed. He just needed her just to confess that I believe what he just said. Now look at this, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now, this was Jesus' opportunity right here at this moment to stagger and waver, right there at that moment. He saw everybody crying and weeping. And guess what? The situation was trying to get him to stagger and trying to waver. And that's why he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, the Bible says. He was troubled because he's thinking like, I'm pretty sure, first of all, I mean, just when you come into like a really somber setting like that, when you come into a funeral, the spirit of that setting is really like down and grief is there. And it's like, my goodness, you could just feel it, right? And that's what Jesus was feeling. He was feeling this grief, and it caused him to be troubled. And then that's why I believe verse 34, he was like, man, I need to go ahead and just do this right now. Where have you laid him? You know, I'm not going to stay in this. Where have you laid him? Let's just go on and get down to business. Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept as he was going. And that was just because he loved him. Amen. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? He's going to do better than that. Verse 38, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Look at Jesus. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him, was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest just believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Look at that. Jesus answering with faith. Jesus ain't got no time for doubting. Look at this. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. Now, check this out. Remember, she said to him, whatever you ask God, God will give it. But Jesus at this point still hasn't asked God for anything. In fact, he's thanking God and he's declaring what he knew God had already done. Now, look at the type of prayer that Jesus prayed here. Father, I thank you that you have what? You have heard me. In other words, I don't even need to ask this thing. It's already done. And then look at verse 42. I knew that you hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by it, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Bible says God knows what we ask before we even ask it, right? And so really in the sense of that, if God already knows what I'm going to ask him or what my request is or what my desire is, then why do I need to even ask him? Why do I need to ask him? In fact, the correct response here is that, okay, God, you already know. When a situation happens, say something happens like one of your loved ones, the doctor tells them that they have cancer. My response to this is, God, you already know. You already know. I don't even need to ask you, God. You see that? That's what Jesus was doing. God, you already heard me. This is a situation right here. You already know what my request is. You already know right now. I'm not going to play with this thing. You already know, God. So, Father, I thank you. You see that? That's the correct response. Father, I thank you. Not, please, Jesus, heal this person. Please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus. Praying these long prayers of doubt and unbelief. No, Father, you already heard me. You already know. Father, I thank you. Now, the other thing about this is that he says, I know that you hear me always, but because of the people. Now, the only reason why Jesus was even praying this prayer was because of the people. He wanted them to believe that God had sent him. It must have been a tradition or something for him to pray first. So what was he doing? He was following the correct tradition. But Jesus was like, you know what? This isn't something I necessarily need to pray for, or even that I even need to do a public display of something so people can see me. But I'm doing it because of the people. And then look at the end result. Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Amen.
You've been listening to So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church, with Senior Pastor Memphis Lachesan. Cummings Park Church is located in Menlo Park, California, and their mission is a simple one: to demonstrate the unconditional love of God to every individual, so that they may be convinced of the great love that God, through Jesus Christ, has for them. The church family meets together every Sunday and again on Wednesday. You're welcome to call for more information at 650-323-1577 or visit CummingsParkChurch.com. As a reminder, So Loved is supported financially by listeners like you. Donations to support this program can be sent to Cummings Park Church, 531 Pierce Road, Menlo Park, California, 94025. Yeah, he loves-